It would help if I don't have the mute button on. My technical difficulties every Wednesday. This is going to be an ongoing joke, I guess. Anyway, as I was saying, happy morning, good morning, happy hump day, good afternoon, good evening to all of you blessed beloveds out there in virtual lands. Give yourself a high five and a big amount of love, because I'm just feeling like I need to love you as much as possible, because sometimes we just don't feel it. So we are here on hump day, and it's trying to be sunny, but New England, you never know. It changes every 5 minutes, and that's very true. Mother's Day was pretty good. It was pretty mellow. Chloe and I just hung out, and we bought some flowers and some zucchinis and just bumbled around, so that was kind of fun, and a friend came over and made me a mimosa, so I felt privileged. How was your Mother's Day, Miss Amy?
Oh, very busy. We went to breakfast with like 9 people, and then we went to visit my mother, who just landed here from Florida, so it's the first time I've seen her since February when I went out to see her, and then came back and visited Todd's mother. That was done about 8 p.m., but it was a great day anyway. I was able to see all the mothers in my life, evidently. So, yeah, we had a great day, and my husband had gotten me an early present. He bought me a new camper, so I'm very excited. Our first camping trip's in a couple weeks, so that was pretty exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
Hmm.
I haven't seen the new camper yet. I haven't gotten out of my walls in a while. Anybody out there that is listening, you are more than welcome to call in at 347-205-9443. And Larry Schneider of Sari's, Simply Sari's, should be calling in at any moment to talk to us a little bit about what he's done and why he does what he does. I'm really looking forward to having him inspire and share his story with you. Just waiting for him to call in. Again, that number is 347-205-9443. I have no idea what else to talk about. What do you think, Amy? What do you want to talk
about?
Well,
I'm actually just browsing this cookbook that he has written on. As you know, Rusty has celiac disease, and I've wanted to learn how to cook from my friend. So when she comes over, my nickname is Mama Bear, and I feel like I have to feed everybody, and she usually has to bring her own food. So I told her I really wanted to learn how to cook gluten-free, and my girls actually like it. They tell me they like gluten-free food better. So I'd really, I'm looking through this cookbook, and I can't believe some of the recipes that are in here, like Jell-O salad with peaches, you know, really nice recipes that you anybody would enjoy, but it's gluten-free, which is actually better for you. So I'm really excited to talk to him and hear his story. You said you cook by sight and smell.
Yeah, I cook by sight and smell. But in high school, I worked as a prep cook for a 4-star, 5-diamond French restaurant. So that type of training is a lot different than...
See, I can cook both ways. Like, I have recipes in my head that's been passed down that you watch your grandmother and they're like, what's the recipe? And I'm like, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But, some things that I'm not familiar with, I kind of like to have a recipe to follow, but I always end up tweaking it to meet my own needs or other people's needs. My daughter is lactose intolerant, so I had to learn how to make chowder without using cream and, milk and stuff. So I actually use chicken broth. So I cook everything in, like your corn chowder, I'd cook in chicken broth. And that's my main base. And then I just add canned milk. And canned milk is cooked, so the milk fat is cooked down so the lactose doesn't bother them. So I learned how to do that to accommodate her. So now it's going to be fun to be able to cook you something.
Yay. Well, that book, I think I'm really hoping that he dials in, because I don't want to give away too much of his story. But he did have a heart attack. And in that process, he decided to design a heart healthy book. So that's, I don't know if all of that's gluten free.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just heart healthy.
Yeah, it says a cardio friendly cookbook for meat and potato folks.
Right.
So. This is totally my parents. I'm the opposite. I don't know where I came from. I'm like the only vegetarian in my entire gene pool. I'm not a true vegetarian now, but I was for a long time when I was young before I had kids and wasn't retaining enough iron and protein. So I do eat some meat, but I do gravitate more toward the vegetable group. And, yeah, because this one said white bread. Can you guys have white bread?
No.
No bread at all, right?
Well, we can have gluten-free bread.
Oh, okay.
Which, for the most part, is not worth spending the $7.89 for a very small
so
loaf.
Long.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to be gluten-free. It's very expensive for the manufacturers to offer a true gluten-free
mm-hmm.
facility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think people are trying to change that. I think more demand is obviously going to...
Yeah, and, you know, as you know, the peanut allergy exploded about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I have children that are 20, almost 24 and almost 23, and when they were in school, the peanut allergy thing was just beginning.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like almost every school is peanut-free.
Yeah.
So now the manufacturers are forced to have peanut-free facilities, so I'm hoping... The same is going to hold true for
Well, they're
gluten.
Forced to have better labeling.
Right.
So it's, and that's the part that even as celiacs, we're trying to change. Larry?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Phew. I was worried. I didn't want to give away your beautiful story. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
We have your shortbread cookies here that Amy's trying, and she just thinks they're yummy. So you might hear a little munching in the background. can you give our viewers an about you and who you are? I love your story. We had a great conversation a few weeks ago, and you just brought me to tears with inspiration, totally positive, about your whole journey. So why don't you start out with telling us a little bit about who you are?
First of all, my name is Larry Schneider. I am 79 years old, and I think I'm still learning. I think I knew a lot when I was young, but I didn't know anything then. From the time I was born until the time I was 13, I was in the hospital an average of 4 to 5 times a year. Malnutrition, severe diarrhea, throwing up simultaneously, and that lasted for 13 years. The doctor I went to said I had irritable bowel, Crohn's disease, this disease, that disease. And in essence, they didn't know what I had, but they then said I needed psychological help or psychiatric help. For some reason, at the age of 13, it supposedly laid dormant. However, the old story is you're never a little pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. Or you're not.
Amen to that.
And either you have celiac disease or you don't. I did. I went 54 years suffering. And in 2000, I had my gallbladder out. And obviously, they always say you had the worst gallbladder you ever had. But then I felt so great, the best I had in years, for 1 week. I then went out and had a half a biscotti and a cup of coffee. I came home and I threw up my guts and had diarrhea simultaneously. Ended up in the hospital for 7 days. I lost all the nutrients in my body. My kidneys were shutting down. I went into a coma. When I awoke, I didn't know what I had. The doctor said, we're going to do an endoscopy on you. And I said, okay. And then he said I had celiac disease. And I said, what is celiac disease? I never heard of it. And going back at that time, most doctors never even recognized it. And joined the Celiac Screw Association And after 1 year of being a member there, they had a book called The Product Listing of Safe Foods That You Could Eat. And I was instructed that you have to be, there's no cure for celiac disease. The only cure is, if it's a cure, you have to be on a strict diet of no wheat, barley, rye, or oats. I then bought their product listing book, and I had safe books. At that time, it was maybe 15 to 20 pages. Today, it's over 500 or 600 pages. I then got on their board of directors and helped that association grow to today. The Celiac Spruce Association is the largest association for celiac disease in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple years ago, they wanted to set up a foundation, and it took me about a year with a lot of legal advice, a lot of accounting advice, and we finally got that organized, and it is now a 501c3 charitable organization, as is the Celiac Spruce Association.
Good
in
job.
In 2011, they came to me and said, Larry, we'd like you on the board, to be the president of the AACSA Foundation. The website is aacsafoundation.org. I have, I believe, 9 or 10 directors on my board, and we are moving progressively. And my goal this year is probably to raise $1 million to $2 million for that, for this specific group, which in turn will do a lot of things, education to the public, education to the medical profession, developing a dipstick, which is really unique, to put in food when you go to a restaurant to see how much wheat is in there, and it's either red, yellow, or green. If it's red, it's absolutely dangerous. If it's yellow, I wouldn't eat it. If it's green, you can go ahead and eat it. And I think
yeah, when you told me that, Larry, I was jumping up and down with
so
joy.
Awesome.
It makes those of us who travel all the time so much easier.
I had one story. I went to the Chart House restaurant here in Arizona, and I said, this is many years ago, I said to them, is your salad dressing gluten-free? Oh, yeah. Okay, so I ate it like a dummy. I ended up in the hospital for 7 days.
Right.
And that is not good. In 2005, I was so sick and tired of eating food that I just threw out, because most of it, if not all of it, in those particular times, tasted like cardboard. I mean, I couldn't eat it.
Isn't that awful?
And it's still that way. And so I said, well, I'm going to start a company. And the company I started, the website is www.simplysharis.com. www.simplysharis.com. And today, 6 years later, or almost 7 years later, we're in about 5,000 stores around the United States. We shipped our sauces to South Korea and shipped our cookies and pasta meals to India. What I have found about celiac disease, it runs in your family. As an example, in my family, my daughter became a diabetic at the age of 13. My daughter now is maybe 48 or 49. My grandson was 12 when he got type 1 diabetes. Now, my granddaughter is autistic. This story is unique in itself. And about 3 years ago, I begged my daughter to put her on a gluten-free diet. And I don't know if you know a lot about autistic kids, but first of all, they're very hyper. They can't take a lot of pressure, and they're socially inept. Inept in that if the family would meet, she would be in a corner by herself. She didn't, she was very happy doing that. And my daughter, let her do what she did best, and she read, and she's very artistic, and so on. When she got on the gluten-free diet, I'll fast forward today. Brittany is now 18 years old. She's a freshman at Chapman University. She belongs to a sorority. She had her first date, which she said to her mom, I don't want to date anymore. I want to concentrate on school. And
wow.
she's She got a $100,000 grant because she's so smart. She's in automated film. She has dinners with major film producers in the automated area. They're sending her to Italy to study, and they're also sending her to France, to Keynes, to study in her profession. When she's done with college, she will get a big job, and she will be a very worthwhile product-producing person. Now, what's unique about it is her personality changed. I could not believe when I spoke with her how interesting her life is and how much she's doing in school. I mean, it's beyond me that a child can go from one area to another area strictly because of food and diet.
Mm-hmm.
And I, as an individual, what irritates me in the gluten-free food business is you have a lot of manufacturers that say endorsed. Well, when I call them and I ask who endorsed them, they say we did. And I kind of laugh because that's ridiculous. And there's also the manufacturers, as an example, we have the best tasting gluten-free pizzas made anywhere in the world. And there's another company that's a competitor of ours, and they put on the front of their package gluten-free. But on the back of their package, it says, this product is made on equipment that makes wheat product. Well, if you can tell me how that can be gluten-free, you know, I'll side with you. But that is
so on that same line, how do you feel about Domino's new gluten-free pizza?
I could tell you a story about that because I followed up with Domino's. And I said, how are you going to make the pizzas? They said, we haven't figured that out yet. So they're not really making it. That I don't even believe. And the reason I did that is because I said, I have a way that you can do that. And we could sell you prepaid pies that you can absolutely have it gluten-free. Because what we would do is our packaging would be put in either aluminum, you know, where they can bake it right in the oven, and the customer can open up the pizza when they're ready to eat it. There's no contamination there. It's on the outside, not on the inside.
Yeah, they posted, I don't know if you saw it on my Facebook, but they posted a video, and it was great that, you know, it's great that they have a gluten-free crust, but they made it very, very clear that due to putting pepperoni or mushrooms or whatever, there will be cross-contamination, so it's not recommended for people like us. And I'm like, well, why bother?
Well, I agree with you. The other thing that we did...
That's when they can raise the price.
See, all our factories are dedicated gluten-free factories. And as chairman and co-founder of Simply Sherry's, I said, there is no one that will ever get sick on our products because I'm going to have dedicated factories, which we have. We have the seal of recognition from the Celiac Brew Association, the endorsement of the Foundation for Celiac Awareness, and the Feingold Association. Now, getting back to celiac disease, there are approximately 200 diseases or 250 diseases that are definitely related to celiac disease. And all these people must be on a gluten-free diet. Let me give you an example of some of those. Autism, ADD, ADHD, OCD, Asperger's, type 1 diabetes, all need to be on a gluten-free diet. People with heart disease, I have heart disease. I have severe osteoporosis. I have pernicious anemia. I have artificial knees, artificial hips. I was blessed by God that kept me alive because I crashed in 2004 and I flatlined in 2006 for 14 and a half seconds. Another 5 seconds, I wouldn't have woke up. That in itself is a miracle. And
so can you talk a little bit about your heart attack?
My heart attack was in 1983. Let's go before that. Before that,
okay.
I was a tennis player. I played tennis 3 times a week. I was a golfer. I was a runner, and I went to the gym 2 times a week. I was not heavy. I was not fat. I'm 6'2". I weighed 200 pounds. I mean, that's 208 pounds. That's not a lot. And I woke up. It was 6:45 in the morning. I'll never forget it. I went in to shave. I started to sweat. I had chest pain across my chest like an elephant was sitting on me. Said to my wife, you need to get me to the hospital immediately. I'm having a heart attack, which we should have did. In hindsight, I should have called 911 because I was risking my life. So when I got to the hospital, a doctor came out of the emergency room just coincidentally. And my wife said, please help, my husband's having a heart attack. And he came over to me and I collapsed on him. The next thing I remember, I'm on the table and they said, you just had a heart attack, you need to go to the cath room. Do you have a cardiologist? Well, my son-in-law's cousin's a radiologist. He mentioned the doctor. I mentioned that name. The doctor happened to be in the right next door, you know, where they have the curtains going. He said, I'm Dr. Uh-huh. Brooks. I'm your doctor. And I said, I'm your new patient. And they took me to the cath lab. It was interesting. They gave me streptokinase. And
what is that?
Streptokinase is a clot buster. Either it works or it doesn't work. And what they did is there must have been five or six people in the cath lab, and you could hear a pin drop. And, you know, they have the mask on. I looked at my cardiologist's eyes, and he said, give them 5,000 units. And I saw the concern, 10,000 units. I saw the concern, 15,000 units. I saw the concern. He said, give them 20,000 units. And the room just burst into cheers and laughter like you see at a football game or a basketball game. If somebody scores a three or a touchdown, everybody just, you know, screams. And that's what they did. That heart attack took me approximately 9 months to a year to overcome. That's how bad it was. I had about 10 to 15% damage in my heart. And
Do you think that the weakness of your heart was really related to not being diagnosed at an early age with celiac
disease? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, talk to us a little bit about what it was like as a child to be chronically ill and nobody really, especially at that time period.
It was very, very difficult for me. And to this day, I love children and I do anything to help kids that have celiac disease or diabetes or any type illness like that because I know what I went through. My parents said I couldn't eat watermelon, I couldn't eat cantaloupe. I mean, the fruits I could eat. But no, she gave me rye bread, you know, or white bread or whatever. You know, everything was bread. And I kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker.
Mm-hmm.
And although I did very well academically in school, I was like like a third person in a couple, always being that third person on the outside because of the illness. You know, I played basketball, you know, the coach would give me special attention, and I didn't want that. I wanted to be normal like everybody else, and I wasn't.
Right.
And it was very, very difficult for me. I still have memories of lying in the hospital in Duluth, Minnesota. The temperature outside was 35 below zero. There wasn't a person on the street, and I heard the wind blowing through that window in the hospital, and I still have visions of that in the hospital. In those years, they had needles that must have been 6 inches long, and they would put the needles through in my breast and in my legs, and the intravenous fluid in my legs, that my legs swelled up, I couldn't even move them, because in those years, they didn't have a IV line that they could put directly in your vein. They put it right in your body, you know. Old-fashioned type medicine, but I survived that. I went in to get a college degree and a very successful business career in many businesses. And in 2000, when I go back to the hospital, when I woke up out of a coma, I said to my cardiologist, I'm going to write the best damn cookbook you've ever seen. And he said to me, what did you just say? I said, I'm going to write the best cookbook you've ever seen. It's going to be a comfort food. It's going to be non-fat, low-fat, low-sodium, low-sugar. It's going to have a diabetic exchange rate, and it's going to be well-known all over the country. He said, you are nuts. He said, you're absolutely insane. But I want to tell you something. I'm crazier than you. I want to be your partner.
We must be related. I say that all the time.
and another fellow by the name of Eddie Matney, who was a James Beard winner in cooking and was the chef for the National Football League for about 5 years, co-authored that book with me, and it was the first weight control cardio-friendly book to ever be put on the National Institute of Health's website. And I did national, regional, local TV, became well-known. 2008, I donated the book to the Celiac Sprue Association. And basically, since I've been on a gluten-free diet, I feel great. I've had minor incursions where I had to be hospitalized, where I ate something that I didn't know, you know, had gluten in it. I'm extremely, extremely sensitive to any gluten whatsoever. I mean, I can have a fingernail and I can get sick and I'll have to end up in the hospital because,
right.
You know, you lose so many nutrients, you have to get those nutrients back. The public today has to be aware. I get calls from people, an interesting story. I met some people at the Dairy Queen about a week or two ago. And they said, you know, my son has severe stomach problems, and they can't find out what's wrong with him. And I said, well, can you tell me some of his symptoms? Yes. And they told me this, 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 and this. And I said, you know what? Your son has celiac disease. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not professing to tell you what you should do. But if I were him, I'd go on a dedicated gluten-free diet and try it. And he did, and he's much better. And he says, well, why didn't my doctors tell me that? I said, well, I think you need to ask your doctor. You don't need to ask me because I am not a medical person. I think the idea of, like in the Celiac Sprue Association, we have a camp every year for 150 kids that have celiac disease. And it's remarkable how well they're doing and thriving on the gluten-free diet and how the camaraderie of having that disease brings kids together. And that, to me, is what's important for education, to educate the public to be on it. I also met a doctor, and he's a weight control doctor, and he says, I'm putting all my patients on a gluten-free diet. I said, why? He said, because they lose weight. And I thought to myself, Jesus, you're not the kind of doctor I want to go to.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous. If you need to be on the diet, that's one thing. If you don't, that's another thing. Now, statistically, before they said there was approximately 3 million people that had celiac disease.
Right.
And that number is way, way underrated. If you take all of the people with autism and these various diseases and diabetics and people that are just wheat intolerant. They may not have celiac disease, but wheat intolerant. People that have lactose intolerance, people that have a peanut allergy or, you know, that type of allergy. You're talking about a group of people that exceeds 10 to 15 million people.
Right.
That's a big deal. And when you have those numbers that are coming up, it's interesting. Now, the one nationality that has more celiac disease than anyone else in the world, proportionate to their population, happens to be Ireland, the Irish. We have found through the association is people in India, China, and these are billions of people, have an abundance of people with GI problems that are directly related to celiac disease. And
there was a case study done last year where they just did because celiac disease for the last 40 or 50 years has been dominantly thought of as a European disease versus any other racial makeup or cultural makeup. And there was a study last year that I read. They just did a very light, loosey-goosey test on, I want to say, 33,000 people in India. And it was a very loose test, but important. And it turned out that one out of every 310 out of a 33,000 actually had celiac disease. So then they had to go back and do a titer test, because that's huge. You know, it might not be one out of every 100 like here, but it definitely changes the thought process that it's a pseudo-European disease versus just a genetic disorder universally. So I was really, really impressed with that study.
I personally think that celiac disease is a worldwide epidemic that is here, that prior has never been recognized as a serious disease. I am in contact with a fellow who's in Utah, and his name is Tim Lawson, and he was not diagnosed, and now he's terminal. What had happened is that because he was so malnutrition, his organs are shutting down.
Yeah, and he's having the autoimmune response.
Yep, and his life expectancy is going to be very, very short for a short period, and he recognizes that, and he's very vocal about the disease, and you know, my heart goes out to him. I mean, what really makes me happy. I get emails from Facebook and, you know, through our website alone. I had a young lady who says, I've been eating your pizzas for quite a while. And she says, what's remarkable that I want to tell you, my family is not on a gluten-free diet, and they will only eat your pizzas because that's how good they are. Now, that makes me feel good, because now you're talking about mainstream people. And if your food is, if I don't care whether it's gluten-free food or wheat-free food, if you like it, you're going to buy it, and you're going to be a repeat customer. If you don't like it, you're not going to buy it, and you're not going to come back. And
right. Well, your cookies are delicious. Just saying.
Yeah, thank you.
Amy does not have our disease, Larry. So since the dawning of our friendship, Amy and her family have really started to test try a lot of gluten-free foods that I eat. And her daughters are a huge fan of gluten-free pizza.
Actually want me to order it now. When we order out, is it gluten-free? I have to order them a gluten-free pizza, and they're not gluten, you know, intolerant. But, you know, when I have actually a godchild. Now, you would mention IBS. I have a godchild that is, I just have an instinctful feeling that she's a celiac. She's had all the tests done, they say. But my thing is, what I need to learn about is, you know, I'm an ex-laboratory worker, and I'd like to be able to tell people what tests, you know, are missing. She had the celiac sprue, but I don't know if that alone or if any other components. And when you mentioned IBS, they did say she has IBS. But what can she do to ensure that she gets diagnosed properly?
Well,
Let
me tell you my story. I initially went in and had a blood test, and it was inconclusive. And I got sick. Then when he did the endoscopy, it was proven that I had celiac disease. Well, I talked to so many people, and they don't want to have an endoscopy. And they, you know, they say, well, I'm going to do the blood test, but the blood test either comes back inconclusive or I don't know. So what I tell them is, you have nothing to lose by going on a gluten-free diet. The food is good. You can eat protein. You can have vegetables. You can have, various things, but you got to be careful. You can't have white vinegar. You can't have mayonnaise, certain mayonnaises you can't have. And my feeling is that if you have the whatsoever, and there's a myriad of symptoms. I mean, my God, stomach distension. I mean, I have a whole list of items that are directly related to celiac disease. And why not go on the gluten-free diet? I mean, so you give up wheat, barley, rye, or oats. It's not a big deal.
Well, that's what I told a few people that I have this same, you know, instinct about from because I'm learning through Rusty and what symptoms I'm noticing people, because I'm a holistic therapist, so I do deal with people with, you know, health issues, and I'm beginning to actually be able to, you know, recognize these symptoms and be able to say, hey, if you try the gluten-free diet and you get better, then you know that that's what it is. And if you don't get any better, you're not doing any harm, really, but you're ruling that out.
The only issue I have, and I'm such a stick in the mud about this, and we've had this conversation, actually we all have many times with me, is that if it's not properly diagnosed, then we don't have statistical backing, and the doctors don't necessarily have a heads up as to any potential consequences, like the hyperthyroidism, the colon cancer, the throat cancers that we are more susceptible to. So that's where I personally have an issue with people going gluten-free without having the testing. And the endoscopy is, what, 18 minutes? You don't even feel like they knock you out with a little pill. They cut a little piece off, and then the rest of the time you're just trying to sober up from whatever the pill was that they slipped you. And I think, you know, for me that causes concern, because we need the statistical data. We need to have accuracy, and we need, especially with kids, we need to be able to follow up with, for girls, you know, the infertility issues that I went through all turned out because the fibroids and all of the issues. But if it's not marked on their record as diagnosed, then how do we combat that? I mean, right. Doing it for a couple of weeks just to know if you feel good, that's great. But if you don't...
Oh, no, I totally tell them they need to be tested and diagnosed.
But that's actually come up in every conversation we've had, every radio show we've had in regards to.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you know, 'cause a lot of people just don't
wanna... Just to give you an example of some of the digestive diseases that go with celiac disease.
It's horrible.
It's abdominal distension, abdominal pain. There's... I can't pronounce it. It's endocrinemia of the small intestine. There's bleeding, cancer of the esophagus, cancer of the pharynx, candida infections, colitis.
The candida is painful.
Well, candida, I know, is...
Crohn's
it can...
disease, defective teeth, diarrhea, edema. You know, there are just so many. I mean, it's incredible. Now, being holistic, I think, is a great field, quite truthfully, belongs in medicine. I mean, doctors don't know everything, you know?
No.
And there are some aspects of that quite truthfully, are very, very beneficial for what you do. My daughter does energy healing. And
that's what I am, a Reiki master.
Pardon me?
I'm a Reiki master. I'm an energy healer and teacher.
Yeah, and she's the highest you can go, graduating from the University of Wisconsin in that. And being a diabetic, she had a insulin pump.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the needle goes into her abdomen.
Right.
And this particular day, what happened is she went downtown to Chicago, came home. She started to throw up. Her guts felt very, very sick, weak, passed out. My granddaughter called a neighbor. They took her to the hospital. They immediately put her in intensive care. She had acidosis or whatever it was, but she was in intensive care for 2 days, and she was very seriously ill. What had happened is the needle, unbeknown to her, came out, and she was without insulin for 12 hours.
Oh, my God.
My goodness.
That poor sweetheart.
From that time on, she then went on a gluten-free diet. Her sugars are under control. She feels great. She's doing well, and, you know, that's a story.
Does she still take insulin?
Sorry?
Does she still take insulin?
Oh, absolutely. She's on three, four shots a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has.
But she feels better with the gluten-free because she's decreasing all those, all the sugar that's in the grains and all
that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that, energy work, when you're healing, it isn't just physical healing that's needed. Mm-hmm. It's emotional and spiritual healing. That
absolutely.
It's all three of them. And I work in integrative medicine. So what we're trying to do in my little circle is we're trying to integrate allopathic medicine and alternative to find that balance for each person. So we're not naysayers against allopathic medicine, but we do, I see an urgency in over pharmaceutically treated patients, and I'm one of the people that they go to get off of the medication. So I also deal with aromatherapy, which I haven't really experimented a lot with celiacs, but I have, had some... just the relaxation of it, of Reiki and energy healing, but it's just that balance that we need to find. But we also need our doctors to be more accountable for, finding out what's wrong. Like with my godchild, what's frustrating is it's saying that she doesn't have celiac disease, but I know she does.
Right.
And there needs to be more education in when they're going to school about nutrition altogether, right from the get-go.
That in this particular area I've been working on over the last couple of mm-hmm. years. I've been working with the school districts and the nutrition directors, but mm-hmm. It's been very difficult to get into the lunch part, the lunch line, lunch lady. But anyway, so I'm going to put us on a quick break, Larry. We take a little short break so everybody can stretch and grab a cup of tea or coffee or whatever, and we will be right back. The number here is 347-205-9443. Welcome back to Living and Thriving with Rusty and fabulous co-host Amy Breggy on this not so sunny day here on the seacoast. A roller coaster of a couple of weeks for me, as most of you know, and feeling much better. Things are looking up and up and up. Miss Amy is fabulously doing her wild, crazy things in the garden and with the kids, running back and forth from recitals and all of that stuff. And... we are on the air live with Larry Schneider of Simply Shari's Food. My daughter loved, loved, loved the macaroni and cheese. And Amy is totally in love with the cookies, so that's cool. I'm not a big sweet tooth girl, so I thought the shortbread cookies were yummy, but Amy will bring another bag home to her daughters because they'll just go bad here. So call in. Feel free. Larry has beautiful things to say. He's had an adventurous life. It is just an inspiration to me. The number here is 347-205-9443. And, hey, hit us up on Facebook if you're sneaking us at the office. A lot of you do. And if you did not sign up for a free blog talk radio account, you cannot chat with us, but you can chat with us on Facebook. Facebook.com/celiacroads, and that's how you find me anyway. So, Larry, can you give us a little bit of an idea, you know, starting from childhood, which is most interesting to me, having a daughter with food allergies, what were your inspirational pieces? What kept you going, especially at that time period? It must have been such a struggle in some ways. What was your inspiration? What was your...
Well, I think I was just born with an aptitude. I tried everything, wasn't afraid to do everything, but when I, as a child, I just remember I used to go to a movie in those years. It was 5 cents for the movie. My parents would give me a quarter, and I had enough for a movie, some popcorn, a drink, and I'd have enough for 2 hot dogs and a drink after the movie. And what had happened
for 25 cents? That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, and after I had that, I would get sick. And when I came home, I was dizzy. I threw up on the way, and I don't know if it was depression, but I felt so sick. You know, when you feel sick and you just don't have the energy to move forward, it kind of affected me somewhat. And then I was invited out, you know, when I was at dating age, invited out. My parents would call the parents of the people that were hosting a party and say, you know, my son can't have this or this. Please don't let him have this or this. And what they told them wasn't so, because that's the food I could eat. What I couldn't eat, you know, I never had that available. And, you know, a childhood scars remain in your mind forever. I mean, you know, it flattens out after a period of time. But when you go through it, you can still remember some of the things, you know, that go back so many years, you never even think about it. And
right now
and then it comes back to you. And anybody that has a child that has a specific ailment, whether it's celiac disease, diabetes, or whatever, you need to join a group. As an example, in the celiac community, you should join the Celiac Screw Association. And that website is www.csaceliac.org. And order their product listing books and follow what they tell. They're the pros. They've invested years and time of and energy, and the motto that they carry is celiacs helping celiacs. You know, one interesting thing you mentioned about our mac and cheese, I'm sure everybody knows about Real Simple Magazine. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've all heard of that?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
They did a blind study last year, and they had, I think it was about 70 kids. And they divided them in, 98% of the companies had gluten mac and cheese, and 8% of the companies had gluten-free mac and cheese. Now, we're the only company that I know that uses quinoa pasta for our mac and cheese. And the kids didn't know what they were eating. And then they had a vote, and they unanimously voted Simply Sherry's macaroni and cheese as the best mac and cheese made anywhere in the world. And they did an article about us in that magazine. And that was a big thing for us, because what it is kids like mac and cheese. And a lot of adults like macaroni and cheese. Now, I'm not pushing our product specifically, because everybody is to their own taste. But if you like good mac and cheese, I think we make it. And the idea that I don't know if you know anything about quinoa, but quinoa actually is a fruit grown in Colombia. And it is very, 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 very high in protein. It's probably one of the highest protein products you could buy. Now, when you cook it, I have found that I cook it for about a minute to a minute and a half longer than I would a wheat product. And when you do that, you'll get very good results.
Now, what was the name of that again?
Quinoa.
Quinoa.
Q-U-I-N-O-A. Quinoa pasta.
Okay.
In our mac and cheese. We're the only company that uses it. It's very expensive, very, very, very tasteful, very, very good. And the cheese that we have is a special formula that we put into the mac and cheese. And we have recipes on our website. If you go to www.simplysherrys.com, and Sherrys is Sharis, and go to recipes, you'll see many recipes. Like, we make another product, our quinoa with marinara sauce. I think I sent that to you.
Yes, and we haven't
Have you tried it yet?
We haven't tried it yet. I actually, when I was pulling out the cookies to make sure that Amy tried, I was like, oh, my gosh, I totally forgot about it. So I pulled it out for dinner tonight. I promise,
yeah, well,
I promise,
we,
I promise.
We have a good recipe for that. What you do is you onions. I would use olive oil and a little wine. And I chop up, shred some carrots, chop up some celery. It's just the two of you, so half a pound or a third of a pound of ground beef, I mix it all together, mix the marinara powder that's in your packet with a cup of water, and boil it, put a little olive oil in it, and you can put a little garlic in it if you like, and thicken it, and then mix it all together. You got a meal there enough for two people plus another meal for the next day. And it's very nutritious, and very good, and it's really delicious. And that's on our website as well.
Okay.
Now, I personally ate all of the chocolate chip cookies, even though I'm not a sweet toother, but I did save Amy one. She's going to have one now. And I did, I will be uploading photos of what you sent again on the Facebook page. So everybody can see your product packaging, and when they see it, they can grab it.
Now, I love shortbread cookies, and these are delicious. I couldn't believe how good they are.
My favorite, I like the brownie bites, are very, very, very good. The brownies are excellent. What I do with that is I take a vanilla ice cream, and I crush the brownie bites into the ice cream. It's like cookies and cream. It's absolutely delicious. The other thing with our brownie, if you use the plain shortbread cookies, you can make a crust. And my wife makes pie and banana cream pie using the shortbread cookies as a crust. It's very, very, very good.
Oh,
I love banana pie, but I think that's my southern self is banana pie was my favorite as a little girl. Ooh, and we used to use vanilla wafer cookies when I could have wheat and, oh, Lord, fresh bananas. Now you're talking my language.
Yeah, it's very, very, very good. And particularly the crust, you know, you're using a gluten-free crust in the pie, then it's totally gluten-free. I mean, you don't see a lot of pie in gluten-free.
No. The only one that I've actually found that I can tolerate, because my daughter and I love making quiche, is the Whole Foods gluten-free pie crust. And it tastes pretty good, and it doesn't break apart. It's just Whole Foods is about an hour and 20 minutes north of us, so we don't get it often.
That's the problem with some gluten-free products. In fact, most of them. The biggest problem is, you know, when you take bread, there's not a bread that I really, really can just take out of a package and use. The bread that I use, I have to toast. And what happens, it constantly breaks apart. And that's the problem with the gluten-free products. You got to have that consistency.
Yeah, especially if I like turkey burgers. That's one of my favorite go-to easy meals is to have a turkey burger with avocado and cheese and yum. And they're juicy, and unfortunately, the gluten-free bread is just a nightmare.
No, I have yet to find a gluten-free bread that I can really say is top quality.
Well, off-air, I'll let you know the one that I actually like to use. But it's very, very expensive. But I'll send that information to you, and I'll send the website so that you can check them out. I don't know if they are out in the Arizona area as of yet, but they're my definitely go-to when I can find them. It holds up on a burger.
Our products, our cookies and our pasta meals are sold in all of TJ Maxx and Marshall stores throughout the United States and Canada.
That's good to know.
Yep, actually, I was in TJ Maxx the other day. I was looking for a girl dress, summer dress, and I saw your products there, and I was like, woohoo, I get to talk to him.
Well, also,
that was pretty cool.
Our pizzas are sold in all the Kroger stores throughout the United States.
Okay, so it's only the Kroger's chain. Do you have any other chains that our listeners might
be? Oh, yes. We're in about 4,500 to 5,000 stores. Sprouts,
okay.
I don't have them all in my head here, but what you do is go on our website, put your zip code in, and it'll tell you a store nearest you.
All right. Okay. So can you give us your website one more time, Larry?
It's www.simplysharis.com. The website for the foundation is aacsafoundation.org. And that's www.simplysharis.com and aacsafoundation.org. And donations are greatly appreciated and very warmly received.
So we have a little bit left. Go ahead.
The donations are totally deductible, as we are a 501c3 charity.
Okay. So give us some tips, inspirational tips. Again, I mean, you're more like a cat. I think you have, what, 3 lives out of 9 left? you've gone through so much. So give us a little bit of inspiration. What is, aside from being very similar creatures and just being born optimistic, I mean, we have our down times, but we really try to pick up. How do you do that? How did you do that through these trials and tribulations that were assigned to you by the universe?
Well, several conditions. I have atrial fibrillations, atrial flutters.
Right.
I have ventricular tachycardia, all serious, serious diseases. I've had every procedure done on your heart that you could have. I've had an ablation for PVCs. I had an ablation for premature or atrial fib. And, you know, when I had these procedures, in all honesty, I kept saying, you know, let me go back. I had an incident where I crashed in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, what had happened is I saw myself coming out of my body. It's hard for me to talk about, but I was in a black tuxedo and a black shirt, and I saw a light that was so bright I couldn't even picture it. And I saw this hand push me back in my body. When I woke up the next day, I felt like something was in my body. And this was a very emotional, trying thing. I thought I was going crazy because what had happened, I was able to tell what a person's life was. And I never met him before. And I met a man. My daughter was doing a energy healing on a man in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. And there were 4 people there. My daughter was holding his feet, and 2 people were one on each side on the legs, and the teacher was holding the head. Mm-hmm. And the man started to cry profusely, and he said, "Who here is connected to Larry?" And my daughter freaked out, and he said again, "You got to tell me who here is connected to Larry." And my daughter said, "Larry's my father." He said, "God touched your father. Your father is a messenger of God, and God loves your father, and I love your father." And I questioned myself many, 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 many times and saying, why would God pick on me? I'm nobody. I'm not the most religious man in the world. I go to temple, you know, maybe once, twice a year. But I wasn't a religious fanatic, and I didn't pray every night. from the day that happened in 2004 until today, there isn't a night that I go to bed that I talk to God. Now,
amen.
God bans me? Of course not. But I tell him what I think. And I'm a firm believer, whatever meant to be will be. And look, let me give you an example. In 2008, I had 8 hospitalizations. That's a lot.
Yeah. That's
in 2012, so far I've had 4. How lucky can you be? Well, I consider myself very lucky. I have my senses. I'm able to communicate. I walk around. I go out to dinner. I travel. I go and do, and I'm not afraid of whatever is going to be for my future. Whenever God wants me, I'm available. And that's the way I live
my
life.
And that's an excellent way to look at it. Whenever God wants me, I'm available. So that really gives a person a sense that you really don't have control over that. So just that's great.
Well, thank you for sharing that story. I know that, you know, sometimes those are hard to share, but, you know, there are a lot of listeners out there. In my world of spiritualism, if I can help just one person, I've done my job for the day. I can help them feel better, whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, I feel like I've accomplished something. And I feel blessed that I can work in an area, and your daughter's working in the same arena as I am, and people like you that are really, you know, forefront, you know, people to bring awareness to this disease, and that you can live a happy life and eat food that you can enjoy, even though you have it that's rising above, and, you know, you're really inspirational. You know, to rise above everything that you have, and that's the main point of the show to help people hear stories like this and know that, you know, there is, you can always, you know, me and Rusty have a saying, give it to God, you know, and when people do that, extraordinary things happen.
Yeah, I don't want to put my influence or will on anybody. Everybody is an individual.
That's right.
This is the experience that I have and had.
Mm-hmm.
And if my voice reaches out to the community at large and touch, whether it's one person, 10 people, 1,000 people, whatever, if I can do that and help somebody in their life lead a better life, then indeed what I've been through is worth it, because I indeed am helping everybody. I feel that, and this has been in my mind for many, many years, and particularly since this incident happened to me in 2004, when I said, why me? Why did this happen to me? And, you know, what does God want me to do? And I have come to the conclusion, I've come to the conclusion, and I don't care what religion you are, whatever you are, you have to take each day as it comes. As an example, today the economy is so bad. But, you know, my mother was a very wise woman, and she would say to me, you should never say bad. You should always say things are going to be better tomorrow. And hard work, my statement is, hard work is the yeast that raises the dough. And for all those people that are unemployed, don't give up. Go out. Mm-hmm. Do what you have to do. My God, my first business, I cleaned toilets for a living, and I built a big business. Now, if I can do that to get through college, why can't somebody else do what I did? Because it's available to you. God isn't going to say, here it is, but he may show you the way. And that's a total possibility.
Are you there, Larry?
Yeah, I hear.
Sorry, I had to put you on speakerphone. My other phone died, and Amy was trying to listen.
No, that's what I was saying. I said that for all the people listening, and those that are unemployed, underemployed, don't give up. Go out. Do what you have to do. If you have to start over, start over. There's no crime. And, you know, a dollar here, a dollar there. Before you know it, you got a few bucks. Your life was going to change overnight. And, you know, you just got to keep that positive attitude. Is it hard? Of course it's hard. You know, if everything was easy, and, you know, I have a saying, too. There's nothing as great as success, and success creates more success.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
and also be grateful for what you already have, because the universe won't. If you keep saying I want, I want, I want, it won't give you any more. But if you keep saying, you know, thanking for what you have and being grateful for what you have, then you receive more. And I'm just learning that in my 40s.
Well, I think that's a very true expression, and I think, in all honesty, you know what's interesting? When I became and accepted the presidency of the Celiac AACSA Foundation, it was me. Today I have 10 members of the board. We're having our first golf tournament. I'm going to raise over $50,000 for this golf tournament. I have about 7 people working on it. I'm getting sponsors, big sponsors, some of the big names like Wells Fargo, different organizations that are going to support us. Well, it takes one person to start that with a creative attitude. And I guess my business experience, I never had a job in my life. I always started businesses. I started businesses and sold businesses. And through my business background, it kind of gave me the ability to put together an organization that's going to be functional. And you always got to have that one motivator to be able to have a voice to speak for people that really have the ability to speak, but they're afraid to speak, and they don't want people to know this or that. Well, if you let that go and you say to yourself, this is what I am, this is what I can do, and people will listen to you. You know, I was speaking to 150 people, and after my presentation, the majority of people got up and thanked me immensely. And I said to them in closing, for all of you who stood up and gave me a standing ovation, I thank you. For those of you who didn't and may not like me, that's okay, because I like me.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I had a unanimous standing ovation. And I said the truth. I like me. And you first have to like yourself before you can like someone else.
And that is a very true statement. That's what, you know, a lot of people, including myself, are, you know, I know in my circle of work, are so concentrating on helping others that they neglect themselves. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. And, you know, I'm trying to get better at that, that I can do more help with people. If I keep myself balanced, I can help more people. I'll have more energy. And it's true. It really is. You know, so like, you know, what you're doing with helping people have products out there that have celiac disease, you know, that, you know, the whole process of that is a huge undertaking and, you know, should be commended for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not looking for accolades. I'm not looking, you know, thank you now and then is fine. I'm doing it because I want to help people. I want to give back to the community for what the community has done for me. And I'm a celiac helping celiacs. That's how I look at it.
That's good. You know, because, you know, I know I've heard of it, and I've been, you know, involved in the worked in hospitals for years and years in the laboratory sciences, and, you know, I see these tests, and I never knew what they were, you know, and what these people go through. And I do get people to ask me questions once in a while because of this show, you know, and of course I refer them to Rusty because, you know, she has more of a expertise than I do. But people like you and Rusty that are out there trying to support people and be healthy before they have major health concerns that could potentially take their life. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. I hope your foundation is successful in actually getting into the educational piece where doctors are going to be more educated in these diseases.
That's what a good portion of our money goes to, education to the public and the people at large. I mean, my goodness gracious, we have a medical board of doctors from everywhere, from the University of Minnesota, Harvard Medical School, Stanford University, Duke University, the National University of Ireland at Cork, Mayo Clinic, just my goodness gracious, we have so many people that are involved with us, and we're adding people constantly. And the Celiac Sprue Association and the AACSA Foundation are the main groups. Now, there are splinter groups that, as an example, there are celiac groups in California. They may have 4,000 or 5,000 members. They're very vocal. But there's nobody as large as what we are. We're one of the few associations that has an online telephone service where we speak direct to people. We have our website where we communicate with people all over the world. And we do so many things that help people. And the recognition doesn't go to me or any of the officers of this group. It goes to all of the people that I have met throughout the years with this fine group who have a myriad of problems that really are parallel to some of the things that I've experienced, and some of them are a lot worse. And I always take a look and say, oh, when I'm in the hospital, it's not a big deal. There are people that have a lot worse than me, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to get out of here, and that's what's going to be. And that's the attitude that I have in my life. And if I can be an inspiration to anyone listening to my voice, then indeed I'm successful.
Well, I can tell you personally that you were definitely my inspiration, Larry. Just last time we spoke, you really gave me a lot of food for thought, and it's just sparked even more excitement in me for what I do, because the more of us that are out there, good gravy, all of the healing that we can provide just by being open and willing and sharing and giving, and so I'm grateful to you.
Well, thank you for that, and I look forward to continuing a good conversation with you, and I hope you'll
Absolutely.
Invite me back to speak again. I'd be delighted to do it.
Absolutely.
What you're doing deserves accolades. God bless you for doing it. And to your audience, I say God bless you, and I hope you enjoyed my conversation. I hope I've instilled some things in your mind that you should think about, I never tell you just to follow what I say. Just think about it, and if you think I'm right, then carry forward.
So we have about 10 minutes left, and I would love you to provide us the two websites again. I know that you're the president of the Celiac Sprue Association and the board member and partial owner of Simply Sherry's. I keep calling it Shari's. I think that's the Yankee and the Southern.
Kind of mixed.
Again, I do that.
I am
Bostonian.
I am the co-founder and chairman of Simply Sherry's, Sharis, gluten-free and fabulous. And our website is Simply Sherry's, Sharis.com. Simply Sherry's, Sharis.com. Our website for the AACSA Foundation is aacsafoundation.org. That's aacsafoundation.org. If you go to the homepage and click that on, you'll find out everything about how to become a sponsor for us. You can select any one of the options to become a sponsor. As an example, if you want to sponsor a hole, it's $1,000 a hole. We have Infinity that's going to give away a brand new Affinity if you have a hole in one. It's very exciting, very good. The money will go for good causes, for education. We're going to expand our dipstick, which is, to me, it's going to be all over the world. Once we finalize the dipstick, what we're trying to do now is put a computer chip that is no bigger than a fingernail in this dipstick, that you'll be able to make it cheap enough that you'll be able to throw it away when you go to a restaurant, you put it in food, and it goes red, yellow, or green. If it's green, it's okay. If it's red, it's not. If it's yellow, stay away from it, too. I would. That's my personal opinion. Again, the website is aacsafoundation.org, and the product line is www.simplysharis.com. You can buy all our cookies and pasta meals at all the TJ and Marshall stores throughout the United States and in Canada. And you can also buy our pizzas at any Kroger store throughout the United States. There's 2,200 stores there, Sprouts, or go on your website, put in your zip code. It will tell you a store nearest you that carries our products.
That's wonderful. Now, for those of you who are connected to me on Facebook, I just posted both Simply Shari's and the AACSA, which evidently is different than the CSA. So do you want to take a couple of minutes? Because I thought it was the CSA, and Amy's tapping me on the arm going, no, it's AACSA, when I was trying to look it up. But I am disappointed that there's not a Facebook page associated with them.
There is.
I cannot be a fan and like them.
Well, I will see that.
I didn't
they
see
do
it.
Let me tell you, there's the CSA, which is the Celiac Sprue Association.
Right.
And that's been organized for many, many, many years. The foundation was recently established in 2011, I believe. We're about 2 years old. And we are a sister company to the Celiac Sprue Association. Our main function is to become the financial arm for the Celiac Sprue Association.
Both
the Celiac Sprue Association and the AACSA Foundation are 501c3 charities. Your deductions are totally tax deductible. And you will
now, for the Arizonians out there that are listening in, the Celiac Disease Awareness Golf Tournament, is that something that anybody can sign up for through your website on September 15th?
Absolutely.
All right. So tee off is 7 a.m.? No, 8 a.m.
Yes. 7 a.m., and it'll be an 8 a.m. shotgun. You'll have a gluten-free buffet, you know, lunch. There'll be, you know, a wheat luncheon station, but they'll be gluten-free. And there'll be special foods that you will enjoy. We've got all kinds of prizes. We're going to have a raffle. You'll be able to win a set of golf clubs or this or that. There are going to be prizes. And the fee for golf is a donation of $150 per person. That's $600 for a foursome. Put your foursome together and sign up. We have enough room for 125.
That's an unbelievable price, because when you play 18 holes at a nice golf resort and lunch, and for those people who like to have a cider or whatever, you're going to spend more than $150. And this says your riding cart, lunch, golf shirt, and golf bag for each player. That's a great deal.
This is at my country club, and the Gainey Ranch Golf Club is a very, 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 very excellent course. You'll enjoy it. You'll enjoy everything that's going to happen.
Any parting words, my dear friend?
Well, yes. I would like to wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, belated Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, to all the women, the men, the children, and everybody. May God bless you all. May you all have an enjoyable life, be family-oriented, and give something, take your wife or your husband out for dinner, and just enjoy yourself and have a great rest of the year.
You're the best, Larry. Big hugs to you and yours.
Thank you very much. And let's please keep in touch.
Absolutely.
Yes. Let
I'd
us
love
know
that.
When you get the dipstick thing together.
I will.
That
and
all
Amy,
goes.
Amy, that goes for you too. Keep in touch, please.
I will. I'll be looking you up and giving some information on my Facebook page and my business Facebook page as well. But when the dipstick, all that stuff comes through and that's going to launch, let us know and we'll have you on again because I'd really like to get the word out about those.
Well, I have, as part of my foundation, I have a grant writer that's writing a grant for $1 million. Whether we get it or not, I don't know. And I have bloggers blogging on Facebook for our foundation. I don't know how successful they have, but anybody that wants to become a blogger for the ASCSA Foundation, I'd be greatly appreciative of it, and I would welcome you with open arms.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Well, what I'll do is post that on my Facebook page, and we'll see, because I have people from all over the world, and I think that would also be a great perspective for those of us who love to travel, you know, having people from different countries blogging into your organization about their experiences and what's good and what's safe and where to go. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and I would welcome everybody to accept my offer.
Absolutely. All right, well, we're winding down to the end of the show, and I'm very grateful to have spent my afternoon with Amy and Greg and all of you blessed beloveds out there that are wonderful and sending out my love and lots of hugs, and I hope you have an excellent week. It's you never know what's going to happen 5 minutes down the road, so let's see. It should be very interesting. I know I've had lots of changes this week.
I'm going to tell you one thing about the future. I'm going to say to you and to Amy, you're going to have something good happen to you within the next 2 weeks.
Something good happen to us in the next 2 weeks? I'll let her know. Unfortunately, the phone died, so we've been switching back.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Trust me. My gut feels tells me that.
That something good is going to happen to Amy and I in the next 2 weeks. Well, I will take it. My arms are open. I am
and
open.
And we will shout it from the rooftop.
Absolutely.
So you'll hear it.
And I'll send you
a
nice
card. I don't know what
card.
It is, but I know something that's going to make you both happy.
Amen.
Waking up and doing this makes me very happy.
Right.
Life is good.
Life is good.
All right, Larry. Let's try to connect next week. All right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, darling. So for all my blessed beloveds, you heard it straight from the horse's mouth. Larry has predicted that something fabulous is going to happen to Amy and I in the next 2 weeks. So I am really looking forward to that present in the mail. Love, love, love Larry. And I know we're going to have him on again. He's just, to me, an amazing inspiration. And I could only imagine.
If I could have half of his energy at his age, I will be a happy girl.
Yeah, but age is only chronological.
I know.
It's not mental. So I can't wait, and I really am looking forward to having him on again. He is an inspiration to all of us, and I have a huge grin on my face, and I haven't had one in a couple of weeks, so this was wonderful and very healing. I love you all, blessed beloveds. Have a great week. The computer's getting ready to turn us off. Never turn us down, never turn us out, but definitely turn us off until next week. So be at peace, be in love, be grateful, and hug somebody. And even if you have to hug yourself, do it. It
is
good for
yourself.
You. Always love yourself. Talk to you next week.
God bless everybody.
And God bless everybody. Love you, Larry. Talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Welcome to Living and Finding with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Finding with Rusty.